Am I
yeah.
what?
Are you drinking tonight?
You know what? I actually have some cider. I got some Martinelli cider in the car. I'm gonna go get some of the cider. Would you like one of the ciders?
I'll have a little shot.
Yeah, I know, man. It was really hard to get it, let me tell you. So, I'm serious.
Episode 160. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, we are touching upon the way of the amateur, or is it the amateur? All that and a wee bit more from out and about in Ciderville. Let me catch you up a little bit with that intro where I shared with you a bit of my recording from my recent trip to Santa Cruz, California. Remember, I was talking about that last week, bringing Mama there and catching up with the cider makers. That was all on last week's episode, Ciderville Tales, Monterey, California, because this spring, actually, we now have the dates, April 12th and 13th. So that's a Friday and Saturday. We're going to have a Totally Cider Tour in Monterey Bay. Ah, I'm so excited for this. And as you heard me leading in, I was talking about Martinelli Cider. And actually, John Martinelli is going to be on the podcast soon. He is the CEO, general manager, and fourth generation Martinelli to lead that huge Apple family that has been based in Watsonville, California, once known as Apple City, since 1868. So we're going to be doing a tour with John, which never happens at Martinelli's. They're opening their doors to the Totally Cider Tour. Wow. It's just going to be crazy. We're going to have a cider dinner at SoCal Cider. We're going to hang out with makers, enjoy a bit of Sunset Cider Club time. Going to be tons of fun. I will be rolling out that actual invitation to you where you could sign up and register next week. So the first week of January. And this is coming on us really, really quickly. So you want to get in soon. So start planning now. Look at the dates. See how you could finagle it. It's going to be right around blossom time. If we hit it perfectly, we'll make it. So, of course, I'm going to be there hanging out, enjoying some good California sunshine and California cider, showing you a bit of one of my home ports out in Ciderville. I am what one would call bi-coastal. I go on the East Coast and the West Coast as frequently as I can because I have family in both places and one must see their family. That's certainly a high, high priority for me. So that's really exciting news. And then the other exciting, before I just tell you the other exciting news. So that lead in to this episode here, that singing and that chit-chatting in the background was a little recording. I was hanging out with my cousin Jay. He is a musician, a street musician, and I just love jamming with him. Ooh. So he actually brought us into last week's podcast, singing something from Robbie Robertson. He was starting to sing another song here, just a little background music, just to share a little cup of cider with you. And that story there where I was saying I had Martinelli's in the car, well, I'm going to save that for the actual episode with John, because that was kind of interesting when I found out about how difficult that cider can be to get, even if you are based in California right now. The demand is so high. But I digress, or I'm going off on a tangent, I should say. I'm not digressing. I'm going off on a tangent. It's more like it. So that's that. And now let me share that other piece of exciting news. But first, I'm going to have a little sip of cider. We'll take a little pause, and then I'll be right back with that. I sure hope that you are enjoying this holiday season. It's such a nice time to drop. May it be filled with good cheer, with friends and family, and the perfect glass of cider for you. I want to get back to that good news. It's on that same cider tour thread. I just spoke with Pamela in France. We are working on the Totally Cider Tour for September 2019. Heading again to Pays d'Auge and Domfront. We're going to be switching it up a little bit. Honestly, I don't know how I could have it be any better than it was last year, but I suspect we are going to keep on working towards just giving you the perfect experience. So those of you who missed out on last year, and if you don't know about this, this is an amazing, amazing opportunity. I'll be talking about it in the coming weeks, and the sign-up is going to probably be happening sooner than you think. So start looking at that now, planning it. I think it makes a perfect getaway with someone who maybe not be a full-on cider geek, who wants to do a little bit of sightseeing. We do all that on Totally Cider Tours. Along with some other French news, I got a little note from our friends at Domaine DuPont, specifically Etienne DuPont, and he is the patriarch of that family there. Unfortunately, if you recall, Jérôme DuPont, who was so well known in the world of Calvados and cider, he really brought innovation into French cider making. We lost him prematurely on August 15th of this year. Super sad. In the meanwhile, Etienne DuPont, his father, has been taking in the reins as they are still moving with this amazing domain, which is really like a cidery name, Domaine DuPont. You hear that a lot in French ciders. Domaine this, domaine that. It's really, domain's another word for chateau, or the business of the DuPont family. The news coming out of there is that they now have Madame Marie Marousse, who will be in charge of the Domaine starting on the 7th of January, 2019. She's already been welcomed by Jérôme's team, and they're really moving forward so that they could continue to make this fantastic cider. And then they also have Elizabeth, and she has it's interesting. She has the same last name as Etienne's first name. So it's Elizabeth Etienne, and she is now in charge of distillation. So that's working on the Calvados, and they are, ooh, what Calvados they have. Dang, they got it down. It's one part distillation and the other part blending it and storing your Calvados too. And if you don't know what Calvados is, that is where you distill cider. So in the U.S., we'd call that apple brandy. So that is great news for Domaine DuPont. I wish them all the best. And perhaps I'll be seeing Etienne as he is coming to the U.S. in March. So fingers crossed, I'll keep you up to date if that's actually going to happen. I do expect we will be at Domaine DuPont once again in September on the Totally Cider Tour to Normandy. And let's hit on some other festive news, which is CiderCon coming up in February 4th through to the 8th. You want to arrive early on the 4th if you want to go on those cider tours. I already heard one cider tour is already booked, and that's in the city of Chicago. It's going to be touring all over the place, so you don't want to miss that. And then the events really start kicking off on Wednesday. So arrive early enough to do that. If you want to find out more, listen to the recent episode I just had with Michelle McGrath. I also have to apologize that I spelled Michelle's last name wrong. I spelled Michelle McGrath as if you are grafting a tree. Michelle would get to know that. Yes. Oh my God, nothing like screwing up the executive director of the U.S. Association's last name, Graft, G-R-A-F-T, grafting a tree. No, she's not grafting a tree, but she does graft a lot of pieces of the U.S. together for cider makers. Her actual name is spelled Michelle McGrath, M-C-G-R-A-F-T. TH. So I've been correcting that online. Oy, oy, oy. Anyways, getting back to CiderCon. If you've been sitting on the fence, you know, that's a really lonely place to be. So come on and hang out with us at CiderCon. And one way, if you want to kind of make ends meet, you could really help out by signing up to be a volunteer. All you have to do is like do 5 hours of volunteering. And that's over the course of like a long stretch of days. So it will go by really quickly and you'll get to meet really amazing people. You might feel kind of like left out. And this is a great way to kind of get in the loop, if as if there are loops there, and help out the association to put on this amazing event. So I'm going to put the contact person's name and email in the show notes so you could contact Woodley directly. I can't tell you how late at night I am producing this podcast, so I'm not responsible for anything. Just lots of laughing, which I think we're going to go right into the new year doing exactly that. So on that same note, here's a little bit of funness. Getting back to the topic of the way of the amateur or the amateur. That is a question, and I tell you the truth, you could say it both ways. As myself and my dear friends, as we were perusing the World Wide Web, trying to find the correct pronunciation for the word used to describe non-commercial makers. And away we go.
Amateur.
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 How do you say it?
But there's...
Adventure.
Yeah, how do they put the CH there?
Well...
You have me convinced, amateur.
Here we go, here's another one. This is British English.
Amateur. Amateur.
Sure.
Amateur.
I think French, yeah, this is sure.
So how
sure.
do you pronounce G-H when it's silent?
Yeah. Light.
T-E-U-R is sure.
Sometimes it's silent.
Right.
You know where you went to eat the other night and you liked it?
Where?
P-H-O.
Oh, yeah, how do you say that?
Pho.
No. Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah.
Nah?
Fa.
La.
Na fa la si do.
Here's one more finger.
Amateur.
Ah!
What pronunciation is that?
Macmillan Dictionary.
Amateur.
Yeah. Either amateur. That tells me it's both.
Amateur.
Amateur.
Ah.
Whoa.
You got choices.
So it could
you
be
see
either.
See how it's alliterated this is like the, that? Amateur or amateur?
Sure, with a T.
T-J. Or whatever
is that a J?
Is.
I
whatever
don't know what kind of spelling
is.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks Russian.
Well, it's just, I'm sure there's a word for it, but it's the, how it,
it's
it,
like the town
looks,
of
you pronounce it.
Athol should be pronounced
Athol.
Athol. It was for Lord Athol, but everybody says Athol.
Wouldn't it be Athol?
Athol.
Macmillan has this pronunciation.
Amateur.
First. Just saying.
Amateur.
Yeah, that's good.
And it sounds like one who loves.
I would think amateur. If you're making cider, you are an amateur. And for everything else, you're amateurs.
I think if you say
bunch
amateur,
of amateurs with a screwdriver. Be...
What?
I don't think it's going to carry the same weight if you say amateur. Amateur.
Amateur.
Amateur. Not
you don't think it? There's something, it puts a shiver up my spine when I say amateur. Amateur. Because it's about love, right?
Yes, it's about love.
Oh, no wonder.
Saying me put some sugar up my spine.
Sugar up your spine. Yeah, I got something for
every
that.
Every time you say that word, I get sugar up my spine. Okay, so far we like Macmillan best.
Mm.
Good. Here's another one.
Amateur.
Amateur. We're getting into the other one.
Ooh.
Amateur.
Ah, sounds like an American.
Ride in New Jersey Collegiate.
Yeah, amateur.
How do they do it in Boston?
Get in the car, you amateur.
Get in the car, you amateur. Amateur.
All right, well, food for thought anyway.
And how do they say it in Long Island? Amachin?
Amateur.
Amateur.
You're an amateur.
Amateur.
How would they say it in California?
Baby, say, you're grooving, baby.
You're grooving, baby.
Amateur.
Ooh, who's that?
These are different people. Male from United Kingdom.
Interesting.
The other one was female from United States. This is male from the United Kingdom. James Hutton. We get to hear James Hutton.
Amateur.
Amateur.
So two pronunciations.
Also England.
Yeah, England. Yeah, so it's not just American.
Right? Mm-hmm. Here's Prin Frog.
Amateur.
What's Prin Frog?
That's this person's name.
Name, wow, quite a name.
Like Prince Frog.
Oh, okay.
That one was nice.
Amateur.
This is male from the United States.
A pro-am competition pairs a professional with an amateur.
Yeah, the Americans are pretty consistent.
It's got a little whistle to there, too. Amateur.
Amateur. No space in between the
two. No, that's with the tongue. Amateur. Sure. Sure.
Okay, so hey, how about asking this question? Is amateur an insult?
Yes, is amateur an insult? The answer is yes.
Oh, if someone calls you an amateur, take it as a compliment.
I've been living in a hole my whole life. I got to get out more often.
This person says, I just wish people would stop using amateur as an insult. Mm-hmm. It's inappropriate insult when the party you're conducting business is, or present themselves as professional. Blah, blah, blah.
They wouldn't like me and what I said on Cider Chat.
Hobbyist is someone who is interested in that would lacks the negative connotations of amateur. Hobbyist minimizes it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, what's the right thing to say there? Like cider makers who are doing it commercially, that's how you kind of set them apart, you know? Because there's a lot of cider makers who are doing it. They're commercial cider makers.
You say new.
And they and
new cider.
Well, that could be somebody who is an amateur or commercial.
Yeah.
So it
does put them in a very different category when they're commercial cider makers, as opposed to amateurs.
Yeah.
So being an amateur is not a bad thing. It's just descriptive.
Right. And so, what about if you say professional cider maker? Well, that
versus a hobbyist.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
How do you feel about that word?
That's not bad. It's because I guess it hasn't been used in a derogatory kind of put-down way.
That's what they suggested.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I still kind of go to commercial and non-commercial because that to me is like really, it clearly delineates the two.
Without judgment.
Without judgment. And you could have a professional hobbyist, I feel. So if you say professional cider maker, I feel some hobbyists are professional about it. I mean, they are like polished and show worthy, you know.
And they're producing
top quality, high notch.
To sell for money.
And not selling it for money, but they're very professional about it, you know.
But I think the professional term
would be typically commercial.
Is for
money. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So is it when money comes into the transaction, all of a sudden that changes it? Because that's the thing for me is like so many makers are doing unbelievable jobs and they're not, they're just making it.
Aficionado is another option.
Thank you.
Yeah, have fun. See how you like it.
And you said keep it chilled, eh?
Yeah, it's good to keep it chilled. Yeah, yeah. Don't let it freeze.
No, I'm going to put it down so
Yeah, church. Perfect.
Aficionado. That's a good word.
Aficionado. I like aficionado. I use that a lot in my writing, like for about beer, like beer aficionados. Makes total sense. But they don't necessarily make beer. They're not necessarily brewers.
They just know a lot about it.
They just know about it. They're a geek. Yeah. The aficionado is nicer than geek.
Yeah.
And geek
certainly
is. It feels that way to me.
Oh, yeah.
But geek has...
Geek is becoming...
It has more authority now than it did.
Enthusiast.
Yeah.
Is a good word.
I use enthusiast on the opening of Cider Chat.
Yeah. Yes, I'm...
The makers and enthusiasts and folks in the cider trade from around the world.
That's good. You never have to say professional or amateur.
That's right. Oh, my God. I didn't even think I even avoided it, but I did.
Well, you already did. You already did. Very skillfully.
Mm-hmm.
An enthusiast is one who is ardently attached to a cause, object, or pursuit.
I have in my hands right here a cloth-covered dictionary. It's pretty thick. It's probably 2 pounds. It's from 1979, and it's Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary. It even has little indents for your fingertips to flip the pages. This is what we would call old school, but it feels so great in my hands. I mean, it just, it's, you got to experience having little indents on books. It's beautiful. It's actually beautiful to behold. It's bookmaking as artwork. Anyways, I'm at page 35 of this dictionary, and I want to read the definition for amateur. Actually, I think I have the wrong. Yeah, there it is. Right on the one side column, it says amateur. The first one is a devotee and an admirer. Two, one who engages in a pursuit, study, science, or sport as a pastime rather than a profession. And this third little definition of, I'm going to say it as I normally say it, amateur, is one lacking in experience and competence in an art or science. So the same word has two different definitions. One that is makes you feel kind of good to be called an amateur, and the other one where it doesn't make you feel good. And that ambiguity is so detrimental to cider's growth. And you think, okay, what's a big deal, what you're going to call that competition? But it is a big deal, because cider should be something that we're always feeling good about, embracing. I don't really like being called an amateur. It just feels like not right. I don't care what the history is. If there's two different definitions in my 1979 Webster New Collegiate Dictionary, then there's enough ambiguity to really mess up other people's interpretation of that. And why can't we be clear? Maybe this is like a pipe dream that I'm just searching out for more clarity in cider. But after a recent posting that I saw from my friend Jordan on Facebook, he was in a conversation with somebody else on a group, and they were kind of going over, what is American cider? And how, well, it wasn't really that. How can you, in America, call your cider French if you're not in France? I think you can, actually, Jordan, call your cider a French style of cider. Is it French cider? No, of course, because it's made in America. But French style works for me. At the same time, that kind of also puts us down a very slippery slope, because if you are not using the same apple varieties, and the French are very, very specific on the apple varieties they will use for a cider, for it to get an appellation. And if you don't know what appellation is, that's their like control board that designates this a true product of Normandy or for that particular region. That is, it can be said it's made from that region. Kind of like Vermont maple syrup is, I believe it's trademarked. So you can't call something made in Kansas Vermont maple syrup. It has to be made in that region. That might feel like you are splicing hairs, but it's a little bit bigger than that. It has to do with branding and respecting people's hard work that they put into something to create their own product. So let's say you are X, Y, and Z cidery, and you've been working really hard on X, Y, Z for a long time. You have your logo, you put a lot of work in a trademark, you have certain representation. When people open up your bottle of cider, you expect them to taste X, Y, Z cider. Now, let's say somebody out in Click Click Country decides to call their cidery XYZ. And suddenly, the cider that people are tasting from XYZ, from Click Click Country, doesn't taste like your XYZ cider that you've been working so hard on. That's one of the reasons why it's really important to respect trade brand names that go across the borders or borders of states, borders of country, and to respect tradition. That is my two cents for that today. I'm going to be following up on this topic a little bit further down the road into 2019 as we're going to actually have kind of like a little, I got to watch out if I should call it a contest or what, but a search for some definitions for American products that are made out of pumps. So I'll just leave you hanging on that. I'm sorry for that, but I can't get it into it now because it's kind of late at night and I want to move on. But I will say, I really want to thank Laura, Dale, and The Nose who were on that recording. Laura is a real amazing editor and always makes me kind of think out of the box. And I didn't even realize that there was a different pronunciation for amateur to be an amateur. Who knew that? And for that, I'm grateful. It allowed me to expand my mind a little bit and get the reason why different people call their competitions an amateur competition. I get it. But however, it has that kind of crazy nomenclature playage that allows this word to have two different meanings. And it typically, in my experience, leans towards a more derogatory sense of the word, kind of like The Nose said, "Hey, pakikaya amacha," and I'll leave it at that. Oh, when we come back, we're going to talk about a commercial maker competition coming up in February. And if you're a commercial cider maker and you want to enter a competition, well, there's one coming right up in February, actually on February 10th, so you want to start getting your ciders in now. It's a great deal for U.S. makers because you get judged by folks who are in the trade. They are doing it both by category and price point, and that is a very different type of judging than we have here. If I wasn't at CiderCon, I would be at the competition recording there, but we'll have to save that for next year. But in the meanwhile, I know that this is a very unique setting and it gets you in front of the buyers. So if you want to increase your reach, this is the competition for you. I will have a link in the show notes for that entry form. And you have a double bonus if you send them enough entries and you want to apply to the Berlin, Germany competition. They will ship your ciders there for free. So it's a super win-win. And if you're part of the New York Cider Association, well, they will decrease your entry fee. So that's an extra bonus. So any association out there in the U.S. who wants to join in on that, just contact Adam Levy. Again, the links will be in the show notes, and he will set up a special code for your association to decrease that price down, which is a win-win on all sides and increases, hopefully, membership to the really critical cider associations and also is a win-win for you to get your cider out there to the world to be tasted, to be deciphered, and give you, hopefully, the feedback that allows you to continue to soar into 2019. We are screaming into 2019, and when I next speak with you, it's going to be the new year. Goodbye 2018, hello 2019, and away we go. You know, I wouldn't have made it this far without the support of the good patrons of this here podcast, all the listeners like you, and the commercial makers who are part of the Cider Going Up campaign. Dang, it's been a heck of a year. So I'd like to give a big tip of the glass, as always, to Current Cider of Pennsylvania, Santa Cruz Cider Company of California, Ramborn Cider Company of Luxembourg, and Ross on Wye Cider and Perry in the UK, Process and Analytical NMR Services, John Edward, who provides analytics of cider, and Ironbark Ciderworks in Claremont, California. And I do not want to forget some other fine folks who have been supporters of this here podcast, and that would be Jake Mann of a 5 Mile Orchard, Robbie Honda of a Tanuki Cider Company, James Creek Cider House based in South Carolina, Little Pomona in the Herefordshire region of the UK. Oh, I hope I didn't miss anyone else. Oh, yes, there is. The Queen herself, Eleanor Leger of Eden Cider, based in Newport, Vermont. Oh, so many tasty ciders. Oh, and so many fine, fine people. Thank you, Ciderville. You make my heart soar. And I really look forward to continue to see with you cider going up around the world in 2019. This is Aria Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville. Happy New Year.
Yeah.